Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast, The Sustainable Table, Business Leaders Talk Welfare. My name is Elissa Lane, and I'm the CEO and co-founder of Global Food Partners. For those of you who are joining for the first time today, on this podcast, we interview thought leaders in the fields of cage-free and other sustainability, responsible sourcing, and welfare initiatives. We are so excited to have with us today Ron Pohl, President of International Operations at BWH Hotel Group and President of World Hotels. BWH Hotel Group is a leading global hospitality network comprised of three hotel companies, including World Hotels Collection, Best Western Hotels and Resorts, and SureStay Hotel Group, with approximately 4,500 hotels in over 100 countries worldwide. In his leadership role as President of International Operations, Ron oversees operations and sustainability initiatives at a global level, including the company's global cage-free egg commitment and its implementation across Asia. Ron is based at the BWH headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome to the podcast, Ron. It's a pleasure to have you here today. Let's get started.
Great, Elissa. Thank you for having me. And I'm very excited to be here and be able to spend some time with you this afternoon in Phoenix.
Thank you. So my first question is about your story. I would love to hear, what was your path like to get to this role at BWH? And how did you become so passionate about sustainability?
Well, you're dating me a little bit by asking that question, but I started out many years ago while going to university and needed a job and started working at a hotel front desk. And from that, I guess you could say it's history, but I never left the hotel industry from that point. Had worked in organizations such as Marriott early on in my career and then private management company for the majority of my career, about 25 years. And then I spent the last 16 years with BWH Hotels. So primarily in operations throughout the course of my career, but the last 15 years more strategically focused at the BWH brand and now international operations.
Great. What got you interested in sustainability? I know we've spoken a lot and you can just tell from how you speak that you're very passionate about sustainability, responsible sourcing, CSR. So was there something that sparked your interest in this topic along the way?
Well, I think there's two things. One, I find that it's just the right thing to do on many fronts. And as we organizationally looked at it and said, we do a lot of great things and have for many years, but we've never really had an effort that focused on it specifically. Not just sustainability, but, a lot of parts of the world talk about it as ESG, as environmental, social, and governance. To me, that was kind of an impersonal approach to it when this is really very personal. So renamed ours EPC, which stands for Earth, People, and Community. And that really directed our efforts. And we did it differently in the fact that we did not create a department within BWH Hotels that was responsible for this. We believe it's everybody's responsibility in the organization. And by not creating that silo, it now requires everybody at an executive level to be focused on EPC. So I think that's really important and a different approach than a lot of organizations. All may work, but we prefer that. And when you dig into these specific initiatives, they're all important. If you look at the earth, there's a lot of things that we need to do different today and tomorrow than we've done in the past. Hopefully we're learning from those, and I think we are. And cage-free is a part of that. But everything we do, we're a huge industry. And, we can have a global impact, and we know that. And I know that through working through the Sustainable Hospitality Alliance and some other global organizations, we're all committed to making a difference. From the people perspective, again, I go back to the golden rule or even the platinum rule of, you need to treat people the way you want to be treated or they want to be treated. And it's unfortunate that sometimes that gets lost in doing business. So I think that that's critically important. And then community, what really connected us to the Sustainable Hospitality Alliance was the initiative of making communities better by entering into them rather than making them worse. And oftentimes industries can make a community or an area worse than when they joined it. And our commitment, and that's something that Best Western Hotels has been a part of for the past 20 years with Best Western for a Better World, where we really have initiatives that are focused on our community involvement. We want our hotels to be entrenched in that community, be a part of it, and help lead the way in many of the efforts that they have. So it's personal to me because the hospitality business is a very personal business. So is sustainability and everything associated with it.
And this is your model globally, right? So yes. Leadership across the globe is working on the sustainability, the ESG, the different CSR initiatives too. It isn't just one department within a region or within a country. Everyone kind of has that ownership.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What was really important when we started to really embrace the initiative is that while we think globally, there are some that work globally, others we have to act regionally. And it's respecting the differences of each country and how they operate, but still committed to the same overall initiative.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when people think of a region, they think it's all uniform, right? Like for Asia or Latin America, when each market or each different region within a country is so vastly different. So different strategies are needed and initiatives and everywhere around the world.
And government regulations, you have to respect that. So you could, some places you're limited and sometimes it actually helps you get the initiative implemented.
That kind of leads into the next question about your new initiative, Because We Care. I know that earlier this year, you launched this new environmental and social responsibility initiative called Because We Care. So I was hoping you could tell us a bit more about that. What are some of the initiatives involved, the goals for that initiative, and how you see animal welfare or this cage-free initiative fitting into that?
Sure. So Because We Care is really the second round of our hospitality training on a global scale. The initial rollout was called We Care, or I Care, quite honestly. And that initiative was, what's my individual responsibility as an employee at a hotel, as an employee in our corporate office or organization, in providing a high level of service to whomever my customer is? We have internal and external customers within the organization. As we look to update that and revise it, what we realized was that the iCare program didn't have any recognition of sustainability efforts in it. It was all about customer service. So we expanded it and we felt that it was important to change it to, it's not just iCare, it's because We Care as an organization, we're going to implement changes. So it's another level of employee or associate training that not only takes care of the customer, but it takes care of the environment. It takes care of the things we do and why we do them, and establishes a responsibility that we have within that. And hopefully people become more attached and committed to it when they understand the problems that we're trying to solve. And that's what we've seen. We've now rolled it out. I believe the last numbers I saw, over 1,600 hotels here in North America. We've rolled out a train the trainer program through our offices. We were recently in Paris. We were in Bangkok. And they were just recently, a couple weeks ago, down in Latin America training at our offices there with the intention of now take that out to the hotel general managers and staff themselves to educate them on the processes so we can begin to see results in 2024.
Great. Well, congrats on that initiative. So the training, is it focused initially on certain sustainability topics in the different regions?
Not as much sustainability topics. It's really more defining what Earth, people, and community stand for. And then again, looking regionally to say, what are the specific initiatives that Great Britain, that are important in Japan? And obviously we've got to translate all of this for it to work. But Yeah, the first round, we have very limited specific initiatives, other than we do have specific requirements for hotels on how we will implement some of these in 2024. How are we going to reduce energy costs? How are we going to reduce food waste? How are we going to accept and support our diversity and our employment around the world? So there are specific initiatives that at the office level, and now it's taking that down to the next level within each of those countries or regions around the world.
I like that very localized approach.
You have
working
to.
In market, in country, what are priorities in those markets and how programs can work there. Great. Thanks for sharing about that. Now, moving on to more about cage-free. I know you have been very involved in the cage-free initiative. You're obviously very knowledgeable. You have a lot of expertise in that area. My question for you is, if you have had to share what for you or for what your company have been the top two challenges around cage-free implementation in Asia, what would you say those have been for in your experience?
Yeah, I would say that the top two are certainly pricing. And I always have to look at things from a hotelier's lens. They're our customer and pay our bills. And then the availability. So I don't think either obstacle is difficult to overcome with some education and or some strategic changes to what we do. The cost of cage-free eggs is only an issue if you're going through a lot of eggs. So, you know, we're looking at practices of how do we adopt different initiatives for breakfast, lunch, dinner at our hotels that would use fewer eggs. And I think that that's a good thing. Again, just in general, we are in the process of rewriting breakfast standards for all of our North American hotels. We met with our board of directors. Actually, the meetings just ended about 45 minutes ago, where we talked about, you know, here's some of the plans for implementation in 2024 for breakfast stand. And it's different at all levels. It's not as easy as just saying, hey, we're going to make this change. But we know that in the mid-scale and upper mid-scale, those brands are typically buffet-type breakfasts, and there's a lot of food waste. There's a lot of potentially unnecessary items. And I would tell you that this is a conversation that's actually gone beyond our boardroom. I was recently on a call with the Sustainable Hospitality Alliance where, you know, Tony from Marriott and Sebastian from Accor was on there. And we said, you know what, food waste is the number one priority of initiatives that we need to address on a global scale. So, and obviously breakfast and eggs are all a part of that. So I'm happy to see that we're aligning on some specific initiatives and we can knock them out one at a time, rather than try to, you know, just fix everything at once and you're unsuccessful with most of them. So I think reviewing and altering the way we've done business in the past is critically important. The second is, you know what, we are seeing increased room rates throughout APAC. It's, you know, it's been a tough recovery from COVID, but as room rates increase, I think hotels can take the necessary steps to buy the right product in their hotels, and certainly supporting the cage-free initiative is a part of that.
You sound optimistic.
I'm always a cup half full type of person, but again, I think that's where you and the organization really come into play with the availability, and whether it's through the credits that we've talked about in the past, but supporting the local farmers and businesses to get there are things that we're just going to have to work hand in hand to be successful in the end.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I don't think this is something that can be done with just one party. It really, truly is a collaboration between farmers, the suppliers, the buyers, the businesses like yourself that are supporting these farmers that are implementing better welfare standards and doing the right thing on farm, and groups that can help out. So yeah, we've seen a big shift in progress when everyone's working together, when there's collaboration.
And you know, if, again, not all APAC is created equally, as you well know, that in Singapore, in Japan, in some of these, in South Korea, you know, the cost of land is incredibly high. So how do you accomplish this in those environments, which is much different than Cambodia or other, you know, India or other regions of the world that there's vast majority of land available to fan the farms and do things in the right way.
Yes. So speaking of the different markets and differences there, are there markets in Asia that your hotels have found more difficult or more challenging to work on cage-free and to actually source cage-free eggs?
Again, I think the less developed countries are where we have the biggest issues. Now, fortunately, they go hand in hand, and in most of those countries, we don't have a lot of hotels. So supply-demand ratio works. That said, you know, countries like Vietnam, that is developing as fast as any country in the world, how they're going to keep up with that demand, especially across all levels. I mean, we see a lot of growth in the upper upscale and luxury segment. Well, those are the biggest usages of cage-free or egg product, and how you support that is difficult, and it's not easily shipped in and you know, achieved that way. So we do see that, but again, Japan, Singapore, China, I think there's a lot of inroads being made there, but I don't know how that's going to be. I'm not up to date. Maybe you have some additional information on how the farmers are planning on expanding their operations to achieve that when land is so limited.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, it's farmers in those three markets, there's more and more interest for sure. They know the commitments for cage-free eggs from the buyers, hospitality companies. So it is growing. Definitely feasible in those three countries, which is the good news. We see that ramping up as we approach 2025 as well, and company cage-free deadlines are coming into effect. Yeah, so more and more happening. And like yourself, I like to be optimistic, glass half full. So lots going on.
I think it's really important that not only are the big hotel brands aligned on the initiative and the commitment to it, we're also aligning with suppliers in our supply chain that say, you know, that we're establishing the same type of business rules that say, you know, you have to provide this to us by 2025 as well. So, you know, don't look at us to say we're the solution, that we need them to be the solution, and we'll be the customer.
Yep. So around your cage-free policy and the work that you're doing on implementation, do you have any goals for the next 12 months in Asia?
I would say that our first measure, and we did this, I think, probably either right before or soon after our first conversation, which was about measuring where we are. The challenge we had globally was not understanding exactly. We're a little different brand in that we don't mandate who our hotels have to buy supply product from. Many organizations dictate approved vendors, and you have to buy from, you know, the Cisco's or the different food source providers within the country. We don't have those practices typically in place. So we're spending most of 2023 benchmarking how our hotels' buying habits are, and also reaching out to our vendors to understand what they are buying from them, at least the high volume vendors. So that was 2023. What we're going to do at the end of this year is then to benchmark that and say, okay, if we find out that 25% of our hotels are currently buying cage-free product, okay, and again, we're looking at this regionally, not globally, what is a reasonable expectation that we can have by year-end 2024, 2025, you know, and as we've said, our commitment in 2025 is for certainly for North America to be there. We don't know that the rest of the world will be there yet for the reasons we just spoke of, but we're confident that we can at least narrow the gap of where we are and where we want to be in the coming years.
Thanks. And a question, if someone who is beginning to work on cage-free egg sourcing in Asian markets, I know as we've been discussing, all of the markets are very different. But in general, what advice would you give that person, let's say that's at a hospitality company in a leadership role or a sourcing role, to just start working on and tackling this issue of cage-free sourcing in Asia?
Call Alyssa.
I like that answer.
There's a lot of sourcing that you need to do up front. And I think it's when you open a new hotel, it's very easy to set standards and expectations because everybody's new and they're building their best practices. It's more difficult when people have habits that you have to now try to change. And in our business, we have a lot of habits of where people buy from, where they've purchased from for years, whether it's their, in some cases, even their local family or friends that they've been buying from for years. So I think establishing the relationships that are going to get the desired result is very important. And it is achievable, and we believe it will be achievable, but align with the vendors that are going to, meet the expectation.
So aside from cage-free eggs, what sustainability initiative have you been part of that you personally have enjoyed the most?
I've got a couple hot buttons when it comes to sustainability practices. One, I hate the waste of water. It's our most valuable resource, quite honestly. You either live or die. And so, we've been reviewing all of our requirements, especially as it relates to landscape at hotels and things of that nature, where you're just pouring water in the ground. That's terrible. But also, I hate single-use plastics. And Asia is a huge issue with this. If you look at the amount of plastics getting dumped in the ocean, the majority of it, 80%, 75% of it, is in Asia. And people don't realize it, and I know that if you look at the countries that are most often offending that, hey, they need bottled water and it's probably the only water that they can get, but the disposal of that destroys the environment and destroys the oceans. And so those are probably the two things that personally I get very aggravated by, but I don't know that we have a solution. I mean, we've tried in the States to move to cartoned water, so it's in recycled cardboard and use it that way, but it's four or five times the cost of a plastic bottle of water. So, and where we can, we're eliminating it. We used to give bottled water at check-in here in North America. Well, we've discontinued that because it's an unnecessary practice. But in Asia, you have to have that. That's the water that you have to rely on in some parts of the world. So I think we need to find some solution to that that is sustainable.
Agree.
One last initiative I'll share, and this is an environmental one, which is we partnered with a company called One Tree Planted, and we accept donations through Best Western for a Better World from either customers or our owners. And with their donation, we plant trees in regions of the world where they want the tree planted. And anytime a new Best Western hotel opens, we plant 10 trees on behalf of that new hotel. So we'll plant, this was our first year of doing it. I think we're going to plant around 24,000 trees, which, again, in all regions. And we look to continue to expand that because, again, it's critically important to the environment. It was brought to light to me when I visited Cartagena, Colombia. They live the rainforest. That's theirs. And understanding the effects that that has and their personal connection to it really shed some light. So we built this donation platform with One Tree Planted to be able to at least help provide some sustainability related to it.
Wow. And that's all around the world for all of your operations? Wow.
Yes.
Very nice. I have one final question for you. We ask this to all of our guests.
Okay.
So not related to cage-free. It doesn't have to be related to sustainability or environment. It can be. But what is the best piece of life advice that you have ever received?
Good one. A good friend of mine shared with me a comment not too long ago, and he said, life is a one-lap race. And if you keep it in that perspective, I think it's good to realize that.
Kindness goes a long way.
It sure does.
And you're a very kind person. Whenever we've met and spoken, you can tell you're just a genuinely kind person, committed to these issues, not necessarily as a leader of a hospitality company, but as a person who just genuinely cares about doing the right thing, helping the planet, helping animals. So it's been really great having you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron. And to be notified.
Happy holiday and a happy new year.
Thank you to you as well. And a good trip to India. And to be notified of our latest episodes, don't forget to subscribe to the Sustainable Table Business Leaders Talk Welfare podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Podcasts, and more. See you soon. Bye.